Robbie Robbins. He was an Air Force pilot. And he flew 300 missions in this war. And upon completion of his 300th mission, his commanding officer said, "Robbie, you need to take your crew and you need to go home. You have served faithfully." It took Robbie by complete surprise. He didn't know it was coming. But he obeyed his command. He took his crew and he flew back. Now, this is a story out of the United States. He flew back to the United States. They landed. They drove through the night. And just before dawn, or just at daybreak, when his buddies, his crew members that he had flown 300 different missions with in this war, when they dropped him off at home, do you know what Robbie came home to? He came home to a huge banner stretched across the garage that said, "Welcome home, Dad!" Exclamation point on it. And he thought to himself, how could they have known? I didn't know I was coming back. I didn't know my commanding officers were going to say, after the 300th mission, you're going to go home. I didn't call them. I know none of my buddies and my crew called them. I know the Air Force didn't call them. How in the world did they know? How did they know? Well, Robbins relates this. He says, "When I walked into the house, the kids, about half dressed for school, screamed, 'Daddy.'" Can you imagine the joy and the surprise on his children's faces as they're getting ready for school? They screamed out, "Daddy." He said, "Susan came running down the hall. She looked terrific, hair fixed, makeup on, and a crisp yellow dress. Happens every day at my house, too." I'm not the one in the yellow dress, but... And Robbie asked, he said, "How did you know?" And his wife's response was this. She said, "I didn't," she answered through tears of joy. "Once we knew the war was over, we knew you'd be home one of these days. We knew you'd try to surprise us, so we were ready every day." They were ready every day. You probably have noticed there's a table sitting in front of me today. This table has some ordinary pieces of bread, lovingly cut up and diced. Ordinary cups of juice. This is something that we do to remember what's happened before. And we're going to get to this in just a few minutes. But I wanted to tell that story to say that we're going to be in the end of Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus has been telling... This is just before he's going to the cross, just before he's giving his life up for you and for me and for all the world. And he's been talking to his disciples about, there's going to come a day when I will declare my kingdom. There will be a day. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave you. In fact, it's better for me to leave you. But one day I will return and establish my kingdom. And he says, it's not for you to know when. It's not even for me to know when. It's for my Heavenly Father to know when. In fact, he even related it to what we would call an Old Testament story. This is a story in the very early stages of the creation of the world. A guy named Noah. Anybody remember what happened with a guy named Noah? Noah built a huge boat because God told him to build a huge boat. In a time that there hadn't ever really been rain. Okay, there was water, but the earth was amazing. It could replenish itself. It was amazing. And God told Noah to build a huge boat. And so Noah began to build a huge boat. And everybody mocked him and made fun of him, but he was busy about about the Heavenly Father's business. Everybody mocked him. And Jesus says, when I come, it's going to be like Noah, because Noah built the boat. And one day God said, Noah, it's time for you to get in the boat. And he got in there with his family and a whole bunch of animals. Okay? And then it started to rain. And in this time, while Noah's building this boat, people, they're marrying. People are starting lives. Children are being born. They're partying. They're having a great time. They're living life. Now, they weren't living a life that looked like God wanted them to live. But life is going on while he's building this boat until one day it's time for Noah and his family to get in the ark, and the rain starts to come and the earth is flooded. And Jesus said, when I come back, it's going to be that way. People are going to be getting married. Children are going to be getting born. People are going to be doing life. They're going to be going to work. And I'm going to come back. And you don't know when that's going to be. And we pick up in Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 45. And the title of the sermon and the title of this message series over the next few weeks is called One or the Other. As we start 2017, I hope that thought and that phrase goes over and over and over in our minds over the next several weeks, one or the other. And you'll see what I mean when we get there. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. We're going to go to the end of the chapter today, and the next week we're going to be in the next parable, and the next week we're going to be in the next parable. What's a parable? A parable is a story that's used to illustrate truth. Okay? And we got to be careful because we can take these stories. We need to take these stories for what they're meant. They're meant to teach a truth. We can take them too far if we're not careful. But we need to stick with the main point that Jesus has. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 45. Who then is a faithful and sensible slave, whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? That slave whose master finds him working when he comes will be rewarded. I assure you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that wicked slave says in his heart, "My master is delayed," and starts to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, that slave's master will come on a day he does not expect and at an hour he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. And that day there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pretty severe reward and punishment. Point of this parable: loyalty versus disloyalty. That a loyal servant, now, you may, in your translation, it may have even said servant instead of slave. But that was the idea, that this is a servant. This is someone who serves the owner of a household. And Jesus is telling the story to make a point. He said, in God's family, in God's household that he is in charge of, that he is Lord over, we are to be faithful servants. Now, there's a reason why he tells this story right after he says, one day I'm going to go, but one day I'm going to come back. You see, because there's an in-between time there. Do you know what? You and I are still living in that in-between time. Jesus has gone, he's come, and he's done what he said he came to do. He came to set us free, to declare victory over death. He did that through a cross. And if you don't know that story and you'd like to know more about that story, please ask me after. Ask someone that maybe invited you here today after the service. We would love to tell you that story. But God set us free through his Son. He accomplished his purpose. He fulfilled everything God gave him to do. And then he went back to be with his Father in heaven. And he's there until the Father says, "I'm my Son, for you to go back." We don't know when he's coming back, but he is coming back. We can live with a faith and assurance that he's coming back. We're still in that in-between time. And these next few parables, including the one that we read today, this is Jesus giving us some insight into if we're going to be part of the household of God, of the kingdom of God, then we need to be just like Captain Robbie Robbins' family. That until that day comes, we know there's going to be a victory. We know there already is a victory. We know there's going to be a day when Jesus returns. Then we need to live every day like today he could be back. We need to live as loyal servants of the leader of this household, of the Lord of this household. Let's go back to verse 45. Verse 45 is a question. It says, who then is a faithful and sensible slave his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Now, you might read that and think, well, is he talking about the minister? Like, is he talking about the pastor? Good, I'm off the hook. No. He's not just talking about the pastor or the minister, who, yes, part of my job is your pastor, and I thank God literally every day that I get to be your pastor. Part of my job is to feed you with some spiritual food, to make sure that every Sunday we are prepared to come and to listen to a message from God's word. Whether that's me or someone else delivering it, we need to be prepared for that. leading God's people in the way that we all need to go. But this is not talking about just pastors or ministers. This isn't some rank system within God's family. God is over his household. And we are all servants in his household. And we are going to be found loyal or disloyal. Now let's get to another word in this question. Again, who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? So he's talking about someone whose job it was that when it was time that this guy was to bring people some meat, okay? He was going to make sure that people were fed, right? They had their falafel or whatever it was they were eating back in the day. That he would do that faithfully. This is the example of a faithful, loyal servant. The other example is one that said, you know what? The master's not coming back. He's not back yet. He's probably going to be delayed even longer. Let's just do whatever we want to do. In fact, I don't care if I feed anybody. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to enjoy some drinks with my friends. What the master doesn't know won't hurt him. Loyal or disloyal? Let's look at this word household. Whom his master has put in charge of his household. Now the word here that's in the original language in the Greek is actually found in one other place, and that's in Revelation. Braden, can you put up that verse from Revelation for me, bud? In the middle of its street, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, having 12 sorts of fruit, giving its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree, life to the nations. This idea of care, this idea of concern, and actually it's interesting that the same they use for the root of household is the same that they use give life to the nations. It's this idea of taking care. It's actually where we get our term therapeutic. It refers to healing. It refers to all of those who are in the household as we serve. G. Campbell Morgan is the one that pointed that out. Now, he was a pastor and a theologian that lived a long time ago. But he said, if you look at the Greek here for household and the Greek in Revelation 22, it's about care. It's about healing. And that's where we get that word therapeutic. Now, why in the world would they use that word and use the term household? Well, it's kind of this idea. It's kind of like saying that a woman sets a good table when you're really talking about how good her food is. Man, she sets a good table. You say the word table, but you're talking about the food that's on the table. You with me? It's kind of that idea. That when he talks about household, that this is a household, this is a group of people, God's people, are supposed to show care and concern for one another. We're supposed to take care of each other. That if we're found to be loyal servants, then we're going to care for each other. We're going to provide healing for each other. We're going to lead each other to the one that does provide healing. So as we talk about entering into a new year, into 2017, literally our theme for this year, for Southwinds Church in 2017, is God, how do you want to use us to impact the world around us? And everything we talk about in 2017 is going to be linked to that central theme, being used by God to impact others all around us. Because oftentimes, what do we make in the New Year's? We make New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to ask you what your New Year's resolution is, okay? Because I hope that you've kept it the first 8 days. Most of us don't make it past day 3. I don't make it past day 3. But we make resolutions, and often those resolutions are really pointed at ourselves, right? Like, we need to lose a little bit of weight. We need to get healthier. We want to read more. We want to educate ourselves more. We want to learn something new every day. They're good goals, and they're really healthy goals. And yet, most of them are pointed inwardly. And so I'm going to ask us, and I think God is challenging us to say, let's look outside of just ourselves. And as we make New Year's resolutions, go ahead. Don't feel bad if you made those resolutions. Those are good resolutions. Keep doing those, okay? If there's something that we need to do to improve on ourselves, that's good. I know in our household, we've made some decisions that we want to some goals that we want to strive for 2017. And let's be watching around us. Let's be looking in our church family. Let's be looking in our community to say, you know what? I want to be found a loyal servant. I want to be found a loyal slave. Not only because I don't want to be cast out in the outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't that sound like a fun place to go? I hope no, right? Like, it doesn't sound like a fun, good. No, it's not a place to go. When Jesus comes back, I want to be found as a loyal servant. And he helps us with this parable that a loyal servant is one that cares, that brings healing. So I'm going to ask us to do two things over this next week. One, you can jump into and read Matthew chapter 25. You can start in verse 1 and go all the way through verse 13. You can read that in preparation for next week. Okay? That's going to be the next parable that we look at next week. And a story told to illustrate a truth of the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Second thing I want to ask us to do. Take some time this week and ask God, look back on 2016. Maybe you've done this already. Maybe this will be another recap. But look back on 2016 and just ask God, God, would you show me, was my life one of healing and of care in your kingdom in 2016? And maybe you look back and God says, yes, you're being a loyal and faithful servant. I want you to continue to do that. Maybe you look back and say, you know what, I didn't do anything bad, but I don't know if I necessarily was really healing, you know, like I kind of went to work and I did my thing and whatever. And like, I watched Netflix at night and then I went to bed and did the same thing the next day. Are we leading lives as part of the household of God, of our King Jesus? When we talked about before Christmas, right? He is our King. He is our High Priest. He's the one that intercedes on our behalf. And he is our Savior. He's the one that saves us from our own debt. Will I be found loyal or disloyal? That we can remember to ask ourselves, you know what? God, you tell me, I'm one or the other. It's interesting, too, in these parables, he doesn't say, well, you're either loyal or you're disloyal or you're somewhere in between. You're in limbo. Mm-mm. He says there's servants that are faithful, they're loyal, and there's servants that are disloyal. There's servants that fulfill the tasks that I've given them, that bring healing to those around them, and there's servants that don't. We're going to talk about this more next week and the week after that. But if we think we're safe because we haven't really done anything, we're not. That we're one or the other. We're loyal or we're disloyal. And I pray that as for you and for me, that 2017, that we will be loyal. And can I encourage you, South Winds? I mean, part of the reason that I love being your pastor is that I love you know, getting to give challenges. Because we all need a little kick in the pants every once in a while. You with me on that? I need a kick in the pants every once in a while. If you don't believe it, ask Rachel, okay? I need it. We need it. And when I prepare for messages like this, and I get to think back on 2016 in my life and be convicted, and as I think about our church family, to think, you know what? Like, I get to hear about from other people about how people that are in life groups and they're taking care of each other, about how when somebody from our church family is sick, there's people calling and checking on them, about how when people come into this place, maybe for the first time and they're a little bit nervous, that I get to see people go out of their way to try to make them feel welcome. Southwinds, let's not lose that. We're not a perfect church. We will never be a perfect church. We'll always be striving to be loyal. But let's bring healing to each other. And let's be used by God to bring healing to the world around us. Because as we're doing that, we are just like the woman who was dressed in the yellow dress that was crisp, makeup done, It sounds a bit like a perfect world in that story. But they knew Dad was going to come home Sunday. Let's be found faithful and loyal.